goes. Hey, everybody. Welcome again to another edition of Liberty Unbridled. I'm your host, Kim Molman, and this is the My View Matters Radio Network. I've got a good bit of stuff to talk about tonight. We wrap up the year and kind of meander our way to the end of the year. I guess we have, a couple of shows left? We have one show left this year. Look at that. And who knows? It might very well be a best of show, seeing that the weekend between Christmas and New Year's is always a little bit hectic. Chances are pretty good that this will be the last live show this year. So appreciate you all tuning in. And if you're listening to this on podcast, you know, we do like to have people actually listen live and call in live. We enjoy having callers. And if you'd like to call in, if you're listening live tonight and you'd like to call in, remember we wait until the second half of the show and we bring callers on. But that number, you can call in now if you want. You can just listen. 858-683-1326. Again, 858-683-1326. And co-host Dave is out there monitoring the chat room for us tonight, and he'll be joining us as well at the bottom of the hour once we get things kind of rolling. But to start tonight's show, like we always do, we start with the randomly generated political rhetoric from the political rhetoric generator. Tonight's randomly generated political rhetoric is, I will work for an America where Washington elitists and high-paid lobbyists cannot make a mockery of our cherished American values. Sometimes it comes up with stuff that's like legit. It's random. It happens. And let's see here. Our random correlation, our spurious correlation for tonight, ultralight, microlight, or power glider accidents that killed the occupant is inversely corollary with online revenue on Thanksgiving for the years 2008 to 2010. Obviously completely unrelated. And that's the point, is that just because numbers happen to correlate doesn't mean squat. It just means that there might be something to look at to investigate further. And that'll come in handy here in a little bit when we get to the smoking ban nonsense here in just a little bit. But I wanted to get to a few other miscellaneous news items in Kentucky and out and about as well. There was a story about some folks in the Pennsylvania legislature that were being bribed. And they were basically outright being paid cash to vote for bills. And the attorney general refused to prosecute. Not shockingly, the people that were alleged to have taken the money and the attorney general are of the same party. It's you know, I guess I should go ahead and fast forward to where we're going with the campaign finance ranks, because the story here isn't about what they were voting on. And yes, it was voter ID bill and blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's important. And make no mistake, we could have a nice long conversation about the importance of the integrity of the vote and voter ID. I think we have done that before. But what I want to talk about tonight in regard to this specifically is the fact that people are being paid to vote a certain way. And what does that really say? First of all, it says that these folks obviously have no moral core. They just don't care about this bill. And they can be paid to go one way or another, which honestly is pretty bad that, you know, you're voting for people that will go either way. Just, you know, whoever's got the cash, I'm in. It's amazing to me. According to the story, the attorney general refused to prosecute, claimed that there was lack of evidence. A grand jury was convened. The district attorney put that together. And the grand jury said that the evidence was unusually damning, consisting as it not only of eyewitness accounts, but of hours of tape recordings, detailed admissions by the subjects of the investigation themselves. Essentially, it's political cover-up, and now it's been uncovered. And this kind of activity is why creates similar regulations here in Kentucky. It's an interesting issue. Senator Schickel had a op-ed printed in the paper this week condemning these new regulations, and essentially there's been a little bit of buzz about it. It was passed last year. It was an anti-corruption law, and it essentially prohibits a state legislator from being able to accept campaign contributions while the House or Senate are in session. In other words, you can't have a scenario where somebody's like, hey, pass this bill and I'll dump 10 grand into your campaign account. And that sounds well and good. Where it gets interesting is that at least one of the tickets that's looking at running next year, actually two of them, Conway Oberle and Comer McDaniel, the LT candidates are both members of the General Assembly, and they're both members of that ticket. And there's a General Assembly session this year. So the whirlwind question is, can Comer McDaniel, and for that matter Conway Oberle, accept campaign contributions while the General Assembly is in session? Interesting question. It's an interesting scenario, and I guess from my perspective, I'm all about sunshine. And I had this conversation with someone recently about campaign finance and how we're doing things the dumb way. It's the old way. The idea that we take all these contributions and we take all this money, but then we don't have to report it for a really long time. In the case of political parties, in years like 2013, when there are no elections, we basically can raise money, the political parties can raise money for all of 2013 without a single nickel having to be reported at all. Likewise, and in fact, I guess we went all the way through to 2014, I'm not the state, I'm not a treasurer, so I don't remember exactly how that works, but essentially, there was a year, or almost 2 years worth of, maybe it was more than 2 years worth of paperwork that got reported on in one shot because there were no elections. And it seems to me that there's a better way to do this, that we shouldn't have to wait until after an election to find out who paid or who, which special interests have bought and paid for a particular legislator. If you're going to have campaign finance, then why not do it on the spot? Why not change it to make it more convenient to give with credit card rather than less convenient, which is what it is today? And why not make it all instantaneous? Why not make it that as soon as the contribution comes in, it has to be reported within a day or so? Because you can automate the heck out of that. I deposited these checks. They came from this person. Boom. And have it update a system that updates the state instantly. It wouldn't cost that much money. You're talking about a simple client and server with a secured login. It's not hard. It's just one of those things that if you're going to do campaign finance, and the purpose of campaign finance being to ensure the integrity of elections, to know who's paying what, right? That's the intent. And actually do it. What good does it do me to know 5 days, 10 days, 30 days after an election who gave to that person? Doesn't mean no good. Does you no good. Because we don't have the information before the election. We don't have the information to help us make better choices. Now, unlike a lot of libertarians, I'm actually for campaign finance regulations. When I say that, what I'm for is reporting. I think it's important that individual voters know who a particular legislator is going to owe favors to. So if a individual legislator ends up with $100,000 from, I'm just going to pick something, the trucking industry, then we know before we walk into the voting booth, if we know that, we can decide whether we care a particular legislator is going to have or that the trucking industry is going to have the ear of that particular legislator. And I might be totally cool with that. Okay? But it's information that I need to know before the election. 30 days after does me no good. It does no one any good. Do I have to wait 2 years or 4 years to do something about it? I think that the easier solution here, rather than banning people from giving this or giving that, and I think Senator Schickel made a very valid point that chances are very good that these restrictions aren't going to hold constitutional muster. But rather than bother with it at all, why not just simply say, hey, you know, anything you get, you have to report right away. That solves like 90% of the problem. Because if I know if it's available right away, I can look the day before election day and go through and calculate all that out and find out. And the media would do that. They would absolutely do that. The media would do that. Well, at least in theory, they would do it for everybody, but they'd at least do it for the people that were against. And it would give the opportunity for the alternate or the new media to do the same as well. I think that's important. I think that having that information, if you're going to have the information, at least have it when it's useful. As it stands today, campaign finance rights, I don't think do a whole lot because you can't do anything with the information because you don't have the information until it's too late. Good as that. But it'll be interesting to see how this plays out because it does have an effect on Comer McDaniel and it has an effect on Conway Oberle. And so those are two major campaigns, one from each party, one from each major party. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. All right, let's see here. I know Dave wants to get into the police shooting stuff, and I'm trying to decide if I want to do that first or not. I think I'm going to do it now because I'm going to get on a rant on the smoking stuff, and that'll take us to the bottom of the hour. The shooting stuff, look, people are upset. I get it. I'm not happy either. We're all upset. We all know that this line that the recession ended back in 2009 is a bunch of crap. We all know that our money is being spent in ways we don't approve of. We all know that the militarization of the police is not a good thing. And many of us are concerned about civil rights, not all, but many. But the appropriate reaction is not to commit murder. I understand that when people are angry, when people feel cornered, when people are hurting, that they will sometimes lash out. But lashing out is not productive. It never is. If anything, it rallies, and this is something I've talked about with a number of folks recently, is that you're not going to see political assassinations from now on. I really believe that. I think the era of political assassination is over because history has taught us that when you kill your opponent, you legitimize them. And not only legitimize them, but you immortalize them. for all intents and purposes, Lincoln, yes, he had won the Civil War, but the Republican Party was extremely upset with him, and he was losing his political clout within the Republican Party in the Reconstruction period. And even people within his own party, the radical Republicans, who were in greater and greater percentages within the Republican Party, did not like what Lincoln was doing. But then Lincoln was assassinated, and the country rallied behind Lincoln, and he's been immortalized. Likewise, John F. Kennedy. You know, say what you will about Kennedy, but the reality is the legend is greater than the acts of the man because he was assassinated. So there's two points to that. Number one, you can kill a man, but you can't kill an idea. But more importantly, when you kill someone, you're giving them credibility. Credibility they may not even deserve. Now, we don't know who these two officers were. I mean, they could have been the scum of the earth, but they also could have been the nicest guys ever. They might have been the two very best police officers on the force. We don't know. And for all we know, the dude that did this, and I, going back to a policy I have on the show, I don't say the names of the people who commit these atrocities because some of these folks are acting out in a way that they think they're going to immortalize themselves, and I don't feed that. But the guy who did this wasn't concerned about good guys or bad guys. And apparently the guy, he apparently just had a screw loose. I mean, that's the other thing. He apparently had killed his girlfriend just before these two officers, and he had put something on Twitter or Facebook about killing them, blah, blah, blah. The concern, the issue, there were some people that were, oh, yeah, that's great. Like, really? Murder is great? You're insane. No. Murder is never good. Ever. No, what we need is a conversation about the militarization of the police. What we don't need is escalation of the situation that exists today. It was escalation by the police officers, and in part by Mr. Garner, that led to the death of Eric Garner. Now, I place the blame on that escalation on the officers involved, and they weren't full-fledged police officers as a weird whatever. But the point is, I put the blame on the professionals in that scenario because they are the ones who are supposed to be trained. And I think as a representative of us, they bear special responsibility to take the higher ground. And yeah, that might suck for them, but I really believe that it's important that they take the higher ground on that. But when it comes to someone murdering someone else in cold blood, and I don't care what their profession is, I can't agree with it. I can't agree with it, even if it's the worst person on the face of the planet. You know, the Kim Jong-un mess going on right now and all of that ties into this some. That, you know, the reality is if the American government wanted to, no one's invincible and no one can hide. It's really a question of what are you trying to accomplish. I honestly believe that the American government has figured it out too, that assassinating people, it doesn't kill the idea. And if anything, it emboldens what they stood for. I think that's why we use sanctions instead of killing people. And, you know, Castro has certainly, Cuba has definitely suffered under sanctions, which now are lifting, apparently. And North Korea has suffered under sanctions as well. I saw a really cool story on North Korea, speaking of them, and I don't mean to deviate off here. But the idea that North Korea is intentionally putting out the image that Kim Jong-un is crazy, because it makes your more powerful enemies worry. That dude will do things that we wouldn't even think about doing. In many ways, it's the exact same thing that Reagan did in the 80s with the Soviet Union. He had Gorbachev convinced that he would push the button. But it works. And so I guess the point, kind of wrapping this back around here, is that we would not kill Kim Jong-un. I don't think that the American government would do that. I don't think that they would benefit from doing that. And it would only embolden those who believe what he believes, or what he stands for anyway. So going out and shooting a couple of cops because you're angry with cops, which that's at least the reason the guy gave. Did he kill his girlfriend because he was angry at the cops? Anyway, the point is that it doesn't solve anything. It doesn't fix anything. It doesn't make a good statement. If anything, it emboldens the other side that says, see, that's why we have to have our militarized police, because these random wackos will come up and shoot them. And that's the point, right? If we're really against militarization of the police, then we have to be willing to stand up and say no to people who aggress against the police as well, because the militarization of the police is in part justified by the increased violence against them. We have to take a step back and look at what this was. And, you know, I feel sorry for the families of the officers involved. And, I don't know if these officers deserved it or not. My guess is that they did not. I mean, you know, it could be that they were the scum of the earth or whatever, but I doubt it. Especially given the indiscriminate targeting. And even if they deserved it, they didn't deserve it at the hand of a lone gunman. We have a system of due process, a system of checks and balances, a system of adjudication that has to be given the opportunity to work. It has to be. And the reality is, the whole mess was created by a stupid, zealotrous crackdown on smoking. Because the smoking people, the anti-smoking people, are crazy. They are insane. And when I say that, I don't mean the everyday person is like, man, I don't like smoke. Dude, I get that. That's cool. I'm talking about the people who show up at meetings that are parts of these think tanks that are dedicated specifically to eliminating smoking. I mean, what does that say about your life? That you're working for a group that's targeted smoking and that's it. Weird. Psychological damage in the past? Probably. Something ain't quite right there. These people are a little bit nuts. You know, Bloomberg went on this tear to crack down on smoking throughout New York. It used to be common for storekeepers even to sell the quote-unquote Lucy's in New York City because the price of cigarettes was higher and people just wanted a smoke for whatever reason. The crackdown forced that activity to the streets. Fast forward to Eric Garner in that situation. That's, you know, the crackdown continued there. And so the point is that, well, first of all, one of the points is that we shouldn't be passing laws. It was a really good story about a guy who starts his classes with saying that we shouldn't be passing laws that we're not willing to kill to enforce. Because that's what laws are. At the end of the day, if you refuse to comply with a law, you will be killed. And I know that sounds extreme to some people, but it's true. Try not paying your taxes. They'll come arrest you. Well, what if you refuse to be arrested for paying your taxes? They will try to force you. What happens if you try to resist being forced to be arrested for not paying your taxes? They will kill you. And so we have to understand that the passage of laws is the creation of the is the creation permit for the state to take someone's life because of that law, for failure to violate that, or because they fail to comply, because they violate that law. That's what a law does, straight up. There's no in-between. At the end of the day, laws are enforced with force. They're enforced. And so when we start talking about, and I'm going to segue over here to the smoking ban. When we start talking about smoking bans in Kentucky, what we're doing is talking about creating a similar scenario to what New York has here in Kentucky. And in the wake of the Eric Garner death, in the wake of a growing nanny state that isn't solving problems but giving us lots of excuses, in the wake of how many years of recession now? Do we really need this law? Because I understand that laws, not only do laws give the license to kill, but they also cost money to enforce. And so it becomes a question of, do we want to really spend money to go after a minority of businesses to prevent them from being able to offer customers who willfully walk into that business the ability to smoke indoors? Because that's what we're talking about. They like to talk about employee health. Look, slavery was outlawed back in 1865. Lincoln, see, we go full circle back to Lincoln. Slavery was abolished a long, long time ago. No one is forced to work in a smoking environment. You're not. They're the minority anyway. The reality is that basically everything outside of manufacturing, which is actually way down now, manufacturing is down to like 30% smoking. Restaurants, which I assume at this point, we ran a study on this back in 2008, 2009, and we found that the number of restaurants, restaurants, not bars, but restaurants that were smoke-free in Northern Kentucky voluntarily increased from 66% to 70% from 2008 to 2009. So I have to imagine that it's gone up from there. In the last 5 years, certainly, it's increased at least another 5%. So let's just call it 75%, just because we can, right? I don't have numbers. I don't have the resources to run this survey all the time. And I don't trust the health department because they muddy the waters on purpose. They're part of the people pushing this. By the way, it's why government agencies shouldn't be pushing public policy using taxpayer dollars. It is a crime, by the way, to do that, but they do it anyway. The reason is because now I can't trust the numbers. That and they're using my tax dollars against me, which kind of makes me mad, too. But we're talking about taking a minority of businesses and forcing them into changing their business model. Because we can't have even a minority of businesses allowing people to smoke indoors. And this is a higher priority than the heroin problem, which, by the way, was created by legislation in Frankfurt. Thanks a lot, guys. They created the problem with the heroin epidemic. But the ding-dongs in our health profession up here in Northern Kentucky have decided that apparently it's a higher legislative priority for a smoking ban than it is for fighting heroin. It's a higher legislative priority for a smoking ban than it is to figure out how to pay for the Brent Spence Bridge replacement, a supplement, whatever project. It's a higher priority than, well, anything else, according to those that are pushing for the smoking ban. Then it's the highest priority there is. The state needs to push for a smoking ban. And that's their deal. They're crazy. That's why. If you're asking yourself, why, what, why? They're crazy. No one ever is forced to walk into a smoking establishment. Now, they claim that by passing a smoking ban, one of the secondary effects, which, by the way, is actually their goal, but the secondary effect is that fewer people will smoke. Well, first of all, I take issue with that because they're using data from when smoking rates were much, much higher and smoking indoors was much more prevalent. And given that the market has already adjusted here and that the smoking rate has come down on its own, I don't think you're going to see the supposed miracle cures and miracle numbers as a result of all of this. What you are going to see is the health departments are going to ask for more money to enforce it. And where does that money come from? It's tax money. Where does that tax money come from? Oh, yeah, you and me. What you are going to see is some of the mom-and-pop bars, at least, get hurt, go under. That's a pretty common effect. And they try to claim that, oh, no, look, in the aggregate, this doesn't this and that and this and that, but it's in the aggregate. Oh, then the tourism guy in Ireland says that it's been great for tourism. Well, like the tourism guy in Ireland is going to say, yeah, it's been horrible. We've been suffering so bad. No one should come here. It's a terrible place. Of course he's going to say it's been great. That's his job. Duh. I get really frustrated with crazy, insane, stupid people that get paid with my tax dollars to push insanity. And that's the biggest part of this, is that the grant money used to help push the supposed survey they've run, the money they use to lobby, all this crap comes from a flow from D.C. It's your tax money. They're insane. Look, if you don't like smoking, that's fine. Don't go to smoking establishments. Every type of cuisine available in Northern Kentucky, in each county, is available in a non-smoking venue. Every single type of cuisine is available. There is zero reason to pass a smoking ban. Zero. It's not that you don't have choice. It's that these people are nuts and can't even stand the fact or the idea that even one business, just one business, might allow smoking. And you see that because they won't even put exemptions in for cigar bars or tobacco shops, the places that literally are built around selling tobacco. No exemptions. They're insane. Well, we're over for a break. When we come back, co-host Dave will come on, and if you want to call in, 858-683-1326. Again, 858-683-1326. You are listening to Liberty Unbridled right here on the My View Matters radio network.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop, over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com, 502-969-8585.
there through the bush. I can feel the strain as I grab another train. I ain't looking for blame. I'm starting to sink into countless days. They overload my brain, far too much to maintain. Lost in information.
Victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582 CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Hey, folks, and we're back. You are listening to Liberty Unbridled here on the My View Matters Radio Network, which is probably our last live show for the year. And I'd just like to take a moment to thank everybody for tuning in this year again. As the new year comes, new things come for me. Appreciate your continued listening to the show. And I would appreciate if you do have a small business, if you do have a liberty-oriented business, something to that effect here in Kentucky, or at least catering to Kentucky folks, consider advertising. I know that Ed, who runs the network, has really reasonable rates. We have, I can't remember how many thousands of unique visits and listens every week or every, I can't remember anymore. He's on the marketing side. I'm just here for the free beer. Seriously, though, it is a good network and it is a good cause, and it is, I think, something that does turn out well for our advertisers. So I want to encourage you, if you've got something you want to advertise on a budget, this is the place to do it. With that said, co-host Dave, if you want to unmute yourself whenever you want to come on, my control panel here is acting horrible. There you are. Hey. Hey, man. I'll tell you what, it's another one of those days. Technology is hating me, but it's all good. let's see here. So let's see. All right. Dave, what do you want to talk about, man?
Well, that's a bit of a loaded question because it's not something that I want to be talking about, but my mind has been consumed with senseless, tragic death as of late. And that is exactly how I would describe Eric Garner's death, when some jackhole choked him and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also how I would describe, I'm going to murder one of the names here, but officers Wenjian Liu and Rafael Ramos. Those are the two officers that were killed by some jackhole. It
yeah.
just drives me insane. Beyond the deaths, which are tragic, you know, in and of themselves, I'm also being consumed by the ignorant reaction of so many folks.
Yeah.
Specifically in regards to who's to blame. Like,
yeah, well,
look, people, when some idiot jackhole kills somebody else, it's the idiot jackhole that killed them that's responsible. That's it.
Right. Yeah, you know, I saw a story about some folks that were trying to blame Rand Paul for that supposedly his rhetoric regarding Ferguson played some sort of role in the death of these officers. And it's just like, really? Seriously? I mean, everybody's looking to place blame everywhere but where it belongs, which is on the dude that was nuts that did this. You know, normal
right.
people don't act this way.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, see, I treat people that go out into this broad-based, you know, oh, well, it's somebody else's fault. You know, when they go down that road, I like to treat them kind of the same way as the person who's actually responsible, you know, in that I don't like to give them airtime, you know, if you will. So if you'll humor me here.
Mm-hmm.
Some jackhole cable news talking head, you know, said everybody that was chanting dead cops, you have blood on your hands. No, jackhole, no. Even if people were doing that, the people that were doing that aren't responsible for pulling the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not, you know, just like every, you know, not a single person, you know, that, you know, says, oh, you know, taxes on cigarettes are good or taxes on cigarettes are bad, you know, is responsible for choking Eric Garner. No. You know, I think we as a society really have gone way too far down the rabbit hole of blaming other people for individuals'
yeah.
actions. It's like we just forget back to the individual that committed the action in the first place and, you know, just stay there. Take care of that first, then go off into La La Land and talk about other stuff. Okay, fine.
Well, and I don't think it's necessarily that they've forgotten. There is definitely a culture of blame shifting where, you know, everything's cool because it's not my fault. And I think that gets into so many different areas. So many different things now are, well, let's blame. But in some ways, it's why they let government or want government to do things, because even though it's dumb, at least it's not my fault, right? I didn't do it. Government did it. Not my fault. And I think that's speaking to a larger mentality of pushing blame elsewhere. You know, you could make the same claim that talking head, who I'm sure their network covered the Eric Garner death, you could make the same claim that them making such a big public deal out of it and helping to do that is responsible.
I mean, and making that claim would be just as erroneous.
Right, but the point is that it's it's just funny to me that people are trying to blame this and that. Now, you know, I do think that you can have scenarios that are set up, right? There can be scenarios that help set up a course of events. But the people involved in those series of events are still individuals who have individual will and have the ability to say, I'm not going to do that. That's a really dumb idea. You still have individuals making decisions. And regardless of how set up they are, and what comes to mind, right, are these the predator people, right, the catch a predator people. No matter how set up they were, you know, they still were trying to get it on with a 12-year-old or whatever, right? I mean, that's still not cool. It doesn't matter how set up you were. You had the opportunity to say no at any time. I just...
Right.
You know, whether or not that policy is good of doing the wide, throwing the wide net out and trying to entrap people, well, that's another story. But the people who get caught, snared in that net, were still they still made a bad decision. And they still do need to be responsible for their own actions.
Right, and that's the point. You said that's another story. And that's the point, that it just, for me, so many people miss that. You know, and you were talking about this before the break. I'm echoing the same things, you know, that you said. You know, having a discussion about police militarization is an entirely different story from talking about a senseless and tragic death.
Right.
It's not that it shouldn't be talked about. On the contrary, it absolutely should. But that's another story. It's something else. You know, the more we try to just throw everything all into one pot, the farther away we get from being able to do anything about any of the stuff we throw into that pot. You know, take care of it before you throw it in. You know, and then you can have a conversation about something broader. I always like to give kind of both sides. So, if you will, I talk about the cable news jackhole. Now, you know, he was blaming the people that are, you know, reacting to the death of Eric Garner. Some jackhole governor has blamed essentially, really, the police. Now, basically, what he was saying is that this was predictable. This was predictable because of anti-cop rhetoric due to the death of Eric Holder.
Okay,
so that's kind of like the other side. So you have a jackhole TV news personality, you know, blaming the people chanting, and you have jackhole governor blaming the police for creating that situation in the first place, which, you know, again, the police didn't. These just extreme broad generalities that we talk in drive me nuts. You know, if you want to talk about, you know, the death of Eric Garner, do it. Do it. Let's talk about that. You know, if you want to talk about the police, let's do that. Let's not throw in all of the police into the jackhole that strangled Eric Garner.
Yep.
And likewise, you know, let's not throw in all of the people who are, you know, reacting for whatever reason They're scared. They don't like police militarization. I talked on the show last week about how it's very difficult right now, you know, for me to, explain to my kids, that, the police are supposed to be the good guys, and the extreme majority of cases they are. It's hard for me to have that conversation. They're forming their own, opinions and everything, but let's not throw in everybody. Let's not make these big, huge, broad generalizations, when there are people in a certain group. And let's not stop talking about the important, things that we need to talk about there. For example, I'm not advocating that we stop talking about, well, is it a good thing that there's, some unwritten code of conduct among police officers that they protect their own, even if and when they're in the wrong? No, let's have that conversation. But let's stay away from tying that, unless we have specific reason to do so. For example, we have evidence that someone, another police officer saw something. Then let's talk about that police officer. Let's not broadly generalize every single police officer in the nation, under that umbrella of, mm-hmm. being responsible for, what that particular jackhole did to Eric Garner.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
sorry, I get a little hot about it.
I don't know what else to say about it. Yeah, I get it. It's all good. I don't know what else to say about it. We got about 5 minutes left. And I guess my question to you is do you want to touch on anything else, or do you want to stay on this?
My mind is pretty consumed by this. If you want to lead me somewhere else, I'm happy to go.
I'm just thinking, about the smoking ban and the Nazis that on parade. They went out full force media blitz this weekend, and I could spend hours and hours blowing up everything that they figuratively, of course, everything they put out and their silliness is from their poll that's done improperly all the way to their improper reasoning. And I mean, it's just excuse making, looking for a reason to pass a ban. And if they could tie it together, they would tie it together that, smoking bans save puppies. These guys, they will find any excuse they can. And what they're failing to recognize is that individuals are going to act regardless of the law, especially unreasonable laws. And, that's what we saw with the Eric Garner thing, right, is that people are still selling cigarettes, quote-unquote Lucy's, and that's a practice that's been going a long time, and they're going to continue that practice. I mean, the death of Eric Garner certainly didn't make everybody else that's doing it close up shop and say heck with it, right? It's still happening. And I guess my point is, go ahead.
I'm glad you brought that up again, because I meant to say something about that. I kind of take issue with it. And what I mean is, tying Eric Garner's death to the passing of what you and I absolutely agree is a really bad, bad law.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, tying Eric Garner's death to that law is just as erroneous as everything else that we've been talking about.
I have to disagree with you there. I mean,
that law.
Go ahead.
I know you do, but I'm just going to reiterate the point. I'm pretty broad. I get pretty, I get pretty hardcore about this stuff, and so I mean it there too. Mm-hmm. It is, in my opinion, entirely erroneous to blame the law for Eric Garner's death. No. The jackhole that strangled him is responsible for his death.
Right. No, I agree with that. What I'm going to say, though, is that the jackhole would not have had any grounds to bother Eric Garner had that stupid law not existed. Or at least it wouldn't have been those grounds. Maybe the guy would have been an idiot for a different reason, right?
Right. But I want to stop you there.
Okay.
Because I agree with you. I believe that people who have this in them to kill another human being, I believe that they have that in them, period. And I do believe, and I'm taking a bit of a leap of faith here, But I do believe that you're correct in saying that not only he might have, but he would have had other grounds. He would have found other grounds. When someone wants to find, quote, grounds, end quote, to commit a heinous act, they will find it.
Yeah.
And
no,
so,
you're right. I suggest that
Eric Garner would have been killed that day anyway. It wasn't.
Or if not him, it would have, if it,
that law.
Or if not him, someone else. I don't think that the officers involved
right.
specifically targeted Eric Garner. I think they found someone they could harass. You know, that they walked into that situation looking to arrest him for it.
Right.
Yeah. So, no, I tend to agree with you there that regardless, something, and it may not have been that day either. You know, that's the other thing. It doesn't necessarily mean it was that day. It doesn't matter necessarily mean it was Eric Garner, but yes, that was going to happen regardless. Man, all of a sudden, it's like 50 seconds left in the show. Got final thoughts?
No. Tragic, senseless deaths need to stop. And we need to stop blaming, people or, you know, even systems, you know, other than the individual perpetrators. Keep it on target.
Well, thank you, Dave, as always, for being there. And, folks, my big thing is I just want you to remember that the smoking ban people are crazy. They're nuts, man. And if you ask them if they'd be willing to get 98% of what they want, they'll say no. They want 100% no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. They're nuts. They're driven by a strange zealotry that cannot be explained. And we'll see how far they get this year, this time around in the General Assembly, because, well, it's, you know, about time to start that in, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks? So, anyway, that's it for the show, folks, and it may very well be the last one for this year. Again, tune into the rest of the shows on the network. We're here Monday through Thursday. I don't know who's doing Christmas, if it's going to be a best of or if they're going to be live, but Sutton will be here, and the show will go on one way or the other. But until next time, folks, have a good week, and tune in next time for another edition of Liberty Unbridled. Probably might as well say have a good New Year and safe Christmas and holiday. Thanks, folks. Tune in 2015. We'll see you there.